You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, last week an announcement was made by the government surrounding changes to default KiwiSaver funds. In a bid to align with the zero carbon bill in 2021, when the terms of default KiwiSavers end, they will no longer be able to invest in fossil fuels or illegal weaponry. As well as this, the default funds will change from a conservative to a balanced style of funding, which comes with its advantages and disadvantages, which I discussed with Aaron Gilbert, the Associate Professor of Finance at AUT.
Okay, that's a big question. So the way KiwiSaver works is it basically takes money from you, me, everyone who's a member of a particular fund, and it pulls it up. And what the managers of that fund then do is they invest it into companies, into bonds, into a lot of different investments, both here in New Zealand and around the world, with the goal of earning good returns that will make that money grow faster.
Now, how does the change from a conservative fund to balanced funds affect those on default KiwiSaver funds?
There are going to be positive and negative impacts from that particular change. Now, it's worth noting that the reason the government has done this is that we have getting close to about 500,000 people who are in KiwiSaver default funds that we don't seem to be able to engage. We don't seem to be able to get them to make an active decision about their KiwiSaver. And so when KiwiSaver was set up, the government initially set it up so that those default funds are conservative. Now, a conservative fund is very, very heavily weighted towards cash and very safe assets, which means it doesn't grow very fast. What they've done is they've now put the emphasis on, they've made those funds go into balanced funds. And a balanced fund is somewhere between 60 to 70%, I guess, in what you would consider to be high growth assets, things like stocks and property. And so what's going to happen is people would expect that over a long period of time, they're going to earn a much higher rate of return than they would have if they stayed in their conservative, which means that when they get to retirement, they're going to have a lot more money set aside for their retirement. One of the downsides of it is that they're also going to get charged a much higher fee by the fund managers for having their money managed in a more aggressive fashion. So they're also going to pay a lot more for the privilege by the time that they hit retirement.
Now, why are there so many people who aren't engaging with their KiwiSaver funds?
That's a really tough question to answer, and I suspect that there are as many reasons as there are people who are disengaged. For a lot of people, it seems to be that KiwiSaver is a daunting topic. They don't understand it, and so haven't really wanted to make decisions. For other people, it's possibly a case of not even knowing that they're members, because you have to remember that the default membership captures people who start a new job and who choose not to opt out. So realistically, there is a possibility that there are people out there who are contributing to KiwiSaver without necessarily knowing it if they never check their payslip.
Now, what sort of impact could this change have on the housing market as we're able to pull from KiwiSaver when becoming first home owners?
Balanced means that you're KiwiSaver should grow faster in the long run. But what you are going to be doing and what you will see is that funds will be a little more volatile. So that means that some days they'll be up, some days they will be down. And anybody who's been watching the KiwiSaver over the last week and a bit will have seen some of that. For someone who's thinking about buying a house, they really need to seriously question whether they should be in something as risky as a balanced fund. And the reason is that you want to be reasonably confident that when you need the money is going to be there and you're not going to have seen a really big decline in the value of your balance because the market has tanked a couple of weeks before you go to buy a house. So typically what we would say is that for something like a balanced or a growth fund, you'd be wanting not to want to touch your money for somewhere between 5 and 10 years. So if you're just starting out saving for a house, yep, fine. Balanced will probably work for you for a few years. If you're planning on buying a house next year, nope, absolutely not. You should probably be making an active decision to put your money into a conservative fund like it is invested at the moment.
Now, all these changes are not going to happen until the middle of 2021 when default fund provider terms expire. Could we see some new competition or the removal of some funds due to these changes around investment in fossil fuels and illegal weapons?
So to unpack that question a little bit, we are likely to see some changes in the default providers. At the moment, we have 9, and it really will be a question of exactly what the terms of reference for the default providers is when it comes out. So to the best of my knowledge, the government hasn't really made a decision yet on how many providers they're looking at approving this time around. So for instance, when KiwiSaver first started, there was only 6 default providers. As to whether we're likely to see some changes because of these changes in the fossil fuel rules, possibly. For some providers, it's going to be easier to adopt this requirement that KiwiSavers not invest in fossil fuels or in illegal weapons more easily because they have more hands-on control of where the money is invested. So to take an example, for instance, Simplicity is a passive fund manager. So what they do is they actually put their money with a company called Vanguard, which is an internationally renowned provider of what's called exchange-traded funds. So these are sort of one investment that carries a number of companies in underneath it, and they're usually designed to track an index. The advantage of them is that they're extremely cheap. So Simplicity, for instance, will cost you, depending on what type of fund you're talking about, anywhere between 0.5% to 20% of the fees of some of the competitors. But what Simplicity does is it gives up some of the control as to the individual investments in underneath it. So they may find it difficult, depending on how the government defines fossil fuels, to actually exclude those from their investment portfolio, and therefore they may not be able to be considered as a default provider, which would be a shame given that they're quite a bit cheaper than most of their competitors and fees have a huge impact on KiwiSaver funds, your funds at retirement.
Now, why was the government allowing default fund providers to be investing in illegal weaponry in the first place?
Until now, the government hasn't really taken a stance on what we call ethical mandates. So what the government has done is it's left it to the providers themselves to make a value call as to what they will and won't invest in. And I think what you would find is that the vast majority of New Zealand KiwiSaver funds aren't invested in illegal weaponry for the most part. One thing to note is that these things can get very difficult to judge because, for instance, some providers will exclude nuclear weapons manufacturers, but you can have some really, really large companies for whom some of the parts may be used in nuclear weapons. And so it becomes a very grey line as to whether you exclude that company or whether you include it. And it becomes a bit of a value judgment for the fund managers. Now, in the past, the government has left it up to the managers and to a large degree to the investor, because it's worth noting that the investors themselves can make a decision around what they want their money invested into. There's a fantastic website called Mindful Money, which will tell you exactly what sort of assets your specific KiwiSaver is invested into. And it identifies sort of areas of concern, for instance, fossil fuel companies, weapons manufacturers, because it's worth noting that we talk about illegal weapons, but what about the legal weapons that do just as much harm? So, yeah, it's the government has really left it to the providers themselves and to a certain degree to the investors to express an opinion as to where their money should be invested.
Now, is it the government's role to be making decisions around these changes at all?
My personal view is that I can understand the goal that the government is trying to achieve, but I'm not sure that them getting involved is the best way to do it. I think a better way to do it would be to simply mandate that all of the KiwiSavers have to be much more open and transparent about what they invest their money into. Like I said, you've got a really good website, Mindful Money, which has gone through and done a lot of collation, but I would hate to think the amount of of hours that they've spent having to do that, because the information for a retail investor is not necessarily, or it wasn't until that website came out, I think last year, wasn't that easy to find. So I think to a certain degree, the better approach is to simply let investors make a decision as to what sort of fund that they want their money invested into and where that fund invests that money. Because, like I said, the ethical spectrum is quite broad, and you're going to have people who have very different views as to what should and shouldn't be excluded. Certainly fossil fuels, fossil fuel producers, there's a very easy argument to make there given climate change and what we're seeing, and especially some of the consequences we've seen in recent months. But that's only one aspect of the sort of so-called ethical spectrum that people can be considering. Things like tobacco, alcohol, so-called sin stocks. So there's a huge range of things that people can and should be making decisions about as to whether they want their money invested in those things.
Now, what is the most the government could do surrounding changes to KiwiSaver before it's widely accepted that it's stepping over the line?
I think the government always has to be very careful when it starts making changes to KiwiSaver. Very early on, there were some studies that were done about KiwiSaver, surveys of members, and what came up was that there was a wide level of mistrust around KiwiSaver and a lot of perhaps disinformation about it. A lot of people saw that it was thought it was government-backed. A lot of people thought the government could come in and take your money. A huge range of different issues that came up in some of those surveys. And so I think one thing that government always has to be careful of is in making changes, are they undermining public confidence in KiwiSaver? And to a certain degree, that's why what you're seeing now is the government making changes to the default providers, but not to all of the KiwiSavers. So if your money's invested in a non-default fund, you could still be investing in fossil fuel companies, and you still have the option of choosing where your money is invested in terms of conservative, moderate, balanced growth, wherever you want. So all they're doing is changing the mandate around the default providers, who they have a bit more control over because those are people who are appointed by the government.
Now, that leads quite well into my next question, which was, are we potentially going to see more funds popping up that allow people to invest in fossil fuels and weaponry?
I don't think we're going to see funds popping up that promote that type of investment, certainly not in the weapons space. Like I said, I think the vast majority of funds have divested themselves of illegal weaponry for quite some time. That's not a change that the government has needed to make. So fuels is a slightly different issue. And in fact, what you're seeing is perhaps the exact opposite, that there's a much bigger growth in the so-called socially responsible, the responsible investment type options that people can have. One thing to note is that fossil fuels are not a good investment anymore. And I say that for a lot of reasons, but one of the big problems that you're getting is to do the sort of extraction that fossil fuel companies do requires a lot of capital expenditure to get up and running. And with the current sort of changes in policy that are occurring in a lot of countries around the world and the development of sort of new technologies to try and get us away from fossil fuels, it's not clear that a lot of these guys will be able to recoup a lot of any new sort of capital expenditure that they might be making. So from a purely pragmatic point of view, I think you'll see very few fund managers that are increasing their exposure in fossil fuels simply because it's no longer the business that it used to be and it's no longer a guaranteed moneymaker for fund managers.
So there's been a lot of claims of virtue signalling from the government. Now, from my understanding, the government also makes contribution to our KiwiSaver accounts. So is it reasonable for people to be making this claim?
I'm not sure. The government contribution that they make is simply the member tax credit. They've changed the name on that one. I can't remember what the new name is. So the government, depending on how much you contribute, they will give you up to $520 a year. Yeah, I'm not sure about that question, sorry.
Okay, no worries. And what sort of impact has this announcement had since it was made, and what sort of impact will it have when it is implemented?
I don't think it's really had much of an impact at the moment. I think the funds management industry will be very happy about the change from conservative to balanced. And I think the changes in the requirements around fossil fuels and stuff I mean, as you said, none of this comes into effect until mid-2021. And really, companies are going to have to make a decision themselves as to whether they want to progress down that path of being a default provider. So they're going to have to make a choice sometime about whether they want to take those requirements on board. I'd be surprised if many of the existing providers didn't want to continue being a default provider. And given that most of the companies, most of the funds, they're not heavily invested in fossil fuels, you're talking maybe 2 or 3% in some cases of their assets, it wouldn't be hard for them to divest those investments in most cases. So I think you will generally see an adoption of what's happened, but it remains to be seen, and I don't think we'll see it until we see an announcement about who the default providers are.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.